Lakers lose to the Toronto Raptors, 107-92. The Raptors now 47-18 on the season. Lakers fall to 50-15. Only six more games left before the postseason starts for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I got to tell you, tonight was a great example of what a team performance from a type of organization and a squad that can beat anybody in the NBA. I know we don't talk that much about the Toronto Raptors, but that conversation should definitely start. And I know Raptors won last year, but without Kawhi Leonard, of course, people aren't expecting, at least walking into the season, for them to be competing for a championship. Lakers have played the Raptors twice this year. First time they played them was November 10th. And in that game, no Serge Ibaka, no Kyle Lowry, no problem for the Raptors. They won that game. And then tonight against the Raptors, it just shows you. I mean, this competition that the NBA has, and I know so much of the time we spend time talking about the Western Conference, how stacked the West is. There is incredible talent in the Eastern Conference. It's not just the Milwaukee Bucks, but a team like the Toronto Raptors, this should be a little bit of an eye-opener for the Lakers. Now, don't get me wrong. The world's not going to end. Certainly, the Lakers can get right back on track on Monday when they play the Utah Jazz, but it should open your eyes a little bit. And one player specifically that I think it's, you know, very safe to talk about, we talked about him during the pregame show, how he's probably underappreciated. Kyle Lowry, 33 points in tonight's game, shot 50% from the field, 8 of 16, 5 of 9 from the three-point line, 12 of 15 from the free-throw line. Once you throw in 6 assists and 14 rebounds on top of that, no answer for Kyle Lowry. No answer at all for Kyle Lowry. And I know typically we spend a lot of time talking about what the Lakers did wrong, and we will. We have plenty of time. We have an hour. But at the same time, you want to give credit to the other team. And I think it's this is a perfect example of giving credit to Kyle Lowry, giving credit to the Toronto Raptors, a very team-oriented style of basketball. It doesn't get any more team than that. In the pregame show, you know, one of the things we talked about was they're all so unselfish. They know how to move the ball. They know how to play together on defense. They do all these little things that add up to an extremely tough 48-minute battle, and the Lakers saw some of that tonight against the Toronto Raptors. Now, let me also say, and I think this is, you know, fair to say, it's not every game the Lakers are going to go 10 of 40 from the three-point line. Lakers struggled. Just 25% from the three-point line. Every player struggled. Danny Green was 0 for 7 from the field, was 0 of 6 from the three-point line. And I'm sure we'll probably get calls on that. Danny Green, two games so far in this restart, has struggled, and his inconsistency has continued from the regular season. KCP was 1 of 4 from the three. You had Anthony Davis 1 of 3 from the three-point line. LeBron went 2 of 5. Deion Waiters went 2 of 6. Caruso went a 3. And Markieff Morris 0 of 5 from the three-point line. So Lakers as a team struggled. Now, if you have a good three-point shooting night, maybe this is a completely different game. But I will say this, and I think this is one of those where, like I mentioned, you give credit where credit is due. The Raptors came out up 13-0. And by the time the Lakers crawled and came all the way back, which was great, that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see the Lakers continue to fight. But by the time they came all the way back, we had a game in the third quarter. Lakers were just down 2. But you felt like the Raptors, maybe control is too much of a word, but you felt like they were, in a sense, they were dictating what was happening in tonight's game. Raptors outscored the Lakers in the fourth quarter 35-22. I mean, that tells part of the story. Lakers had 18 turnovers. They were out-rebounded 51-40. So, you know, there's a few key stats that you can look at, and you could see how the Lakers lost. But the Raptors, just for 48 minutes, more consistent, better team ball, felt like they were more of a flow, hit big shots when the Lakers didn't. Lakers struggled from the three. You add all those together, you're going to lose to a extremely talented Toronto Raptors team, 107-92, the final score. I want to talk a little bit about Anthony Davis here real quick. By the way, as you guys know, if you want to be a part of the post-game show, 877-710-ESPN. I know we've been very fortunate to get a lot of Laker wins this year. And during a lot of these wins, I know the phone calls will light up in losses too. That's the case as well. So whatever your frustrations were in tonight's game, or is this, hey, Al, this is one game, not that big of a deal. You lost to a Toronto Raptors team that just played well for 48 minutes. Let's get ready for the Utah Jazz, and we'll regroup from there. Either way, whatever your thought is, 877-710-ESPN. Anthony Davis tonight, 35 minutes, just 7 field goal attempts. Shot 2 of 7 from the field. I mentioned he had those 3 three-pointers, went 1 for 3 from the three-point line, and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. I don't need to say this. Everybody knows this. Not enough from AD. What we expect from Anthony Davis on a night-in, night-out basis is not 14 points and is not 7 field goal attempts. Now, there are a lot of times you want Anthony Davis to just you want him to be more selfish. At the same time, you want to give the Raptors some credit. Really what the Raptors were decided to do, and this is going to be a challenge for the Lakers that they're going to have to figure out. But one of the things that the Raptors decide to do is if they have to double Anthony Davis to force a guy like Danny Green to have to take some threes, then they're going to take their chances with that. And Danny Green's going to have to prove he can hit some threes so they don't have to, so they can double on Anthony Davis. And you understand that approach. It makes a ton of sense. AD is so good. He's so talented. We spent most of the pregame show talking about how do you guard AD? This was one of the conversations. One of the conversations was you have to hope that Laker players are missing a lot of their jumpers. And if they are missing their jumpers, maybe then there's an opportunity to say, okay, well, until you start hitting threes or until, you know, obviously the Lakers start hitting jumpers, then we're going to take our chances with that approach. That's what the Toronto Raptors did. And Anthony Davis never was in a flow. AD at halftime had 1 point. At halftime, had 1 point. I'm sure when we get a chance to hear from Anthony Davis, when we get a chance to hear from head coach Frank Vogel, they're going to give us their perspective. They'll give us their thoughts on you know, what AD was doing wrong or how AD could have had more than 7 shot attempts. But like I mentioned, the Toronto Raptors were all over Anthony Davis. And, you know, obviously their game plan on that front, that's going to force players like Deion Waiters and Alex Caruso and Danny Green and KCP, they're going to get open jumpers. And if they get open jumpers and they hit it, Lakers probably win this game. If they don't get those open jumpers or they're not hitting their jump shot, Lakers are going to struggle, and I think that has a lot to do with it. A couple other players that I just want to bring up here real quick. LeBron tonight, 20 points, 5 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 turnovers. 7 of 15 from the field and 2 of 5 from the three-point line. LeBron said something during the regular season that always stuck out, and I think it's fair to say. LeBron just had 5 assists tonight. Lakers obviously struggled. And we all know the saying, a make-or-miss league. And if the Lakers, you know, hit some of the shots, he only shot 35% from the field, LeBron would say Lakers had a game similar to this during the regular season. And the next game, Lakers started hitting all their shots, and all of a sudden we were praising every player, and we were talking about the jumpers that the Lakers hit, and all of a sudden everything seemed okay. And LeBron said, it's make or miss. Last game, if we were just hitting our shots, as long as they're getting the shots that they want. And that's what I'm most curious about when we hear from LeBron, when we hear from AD, when we hear from Coach. Did they get the looks they were looking for? Defensively, what are some of the strategy that they were hoping for, especially on a guy like Kyle Lowry, what they could have done better? Here's another name I'm going to throw out there. OG Anunoby, who you wouldn't expect to have 23 points tonight, 2 steals and 4 rebounds, shot 8 of 9 from the field. OG Anunoby. You expect that from Siakam. You don't expect that from OG. Siakam tonight had 15 points, 9 rebounds, but he struggled from the field. He was just 5 of 17. So it was really OG Anunoby that picked up the slack, that came through, eventually ended up coming through for the Toronto Raptors, and that's certainly the difference of the game. All right, you've heard me talk about attorney Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm helping businesses affected by the COVID-19 government shutdowns. The Wallace Firm also represents homeowners impacted by the Woolsey fire, victims of car crashes, and families of people who have been wrongfully killed. If you have suffered a serious loss, the Wallace Firm are the serious lawyers to get you the W. No win, no fee. Call 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. When we come back, we'll hear from head coach Frank Vogel. Stay right here. This is a Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Toronto can retake the lead if they score here. Van Fleet down the middle all the way. Kicks it to a wide open Anunoby. Another three. Good again. OG Anunoby hits back-to-back threes from the same spot. The right baseline corner, and Toronto's back in front 78-76.
All right, that was tonight's smooth finish brought to you by Corona. The best way to celebrate sports is with a cool, refreshing Corona in hand. So grab a Corona today and enjoy your game day beach. OG Anunoby was incredibly smooth for the Raptors. I mean, think about his performance tonight. I know Kyle Lowry's going to get a lot of the love. He should. 33 points. I mentioned shot 50% from the field, 12 of 15 from the three-point line or from the free throw line, and hit a couple daggers. But that stretch right there from OG Anunoby, Lakers had a lead right after Anunoby hit those two threes. The Lakers didn't have a shot after that. Outscored in the fourth quarter, I mentioned 35-22. So certainly one of those plays and one of those sequences that was the difference of the game. Okay, let's hear from head coach Frank Vogel. By the way, before we go to coach, if you want to be a part of the postgame show, 877-710-ESPN, the final score tonight, 107-92, the Toronto Raptors. Here's head coach Frank Vogel, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. He'll talk about the Lakers' loss.
Hey, Frank, Mike Trudell back in the studio in Los Angeles. So wondered how much you thought tonight was about Toronto's good defensive effort. They're a good defensive team, and your guys not being sharp was the biggest difference today.
A little both. You know, they play extremely well. They're second-best defense in the NBA. We know what they give up. They flood to the paint and give up backside threes. I thought we moved the ball well most of the night and got a lot of clean looks and struggled to make shots, you know, and that's part of the restart. You know, there's going to be a little bit of nights where with rhythm and timing and shot making is not there. So I would say a little bit of both.
Frank, how do you look at games like this and even the next several that you're going to play before the playoffs? That you mentioned that balance between health and rhythm. Where do you need to focus most as you try to get there before the playoffs start?
Well, we're just measuring both. You know, we got to continue to work on, you know, obviously our rhythm and timing. And, you know, we're working really hard on the defensive end, doing some really good things. You know, maybe that's why our legs aren't quite there with our shooting. But, you know, hopefully that will come. You know, our guys are committed to the defensive end, and that's the important thing.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. How can you explain the disparity between AD's performance against the Clippers and his offensive output tonight?
Yeah, the Raptors double teamed him every time he touched the ball, you know, and, you know, he's a willing passer. He's going to make the right play. Again, you know, we moved the ball well. We got backside threes and a lot of good action out of the double teams. We just didn't connect on a lot of them, you know, and, you know, even still when the team's double teaming as much as they were, we still want to get him more involved than we did. But, you know, I thought he did a really good job identifying the defense where the double teams, where it's coming from and finding open shots for guys on the backside.
Paladin?
Frank, you've talked about the importance of AC finding a little bit more of a role as a backup ball handler. Obviously, he did some good things tonight, but also had those key turnovers in the fourth. Where do you kind of grade that, and what's fixable about that?
He's done a good job improving with that throughout most of the year, but you know, like we've been talking about, he's looking at potentially a bigger role. And, you know, he's going to be in those situations. And, you know, we had that one stretch. You know, our whole group was a little bit out of rhythm during that stretch. He had a couple of those turnovers. But, you know, he's doing a great job for us, you know, on both ends of the floor. And he'll be fine with that.
Actually, I have a follow-up. You know, you last played them 9 months ago, and they had some similar defensive effects on you guys. Was there a lot of similarities based on what you've seen on the court? They look like the team that they were before the hiatus in some sense?
Yeah, they won a championship last year. They're a great defense, you know, so it's a good test for us. Again, we did some good things. I think we did some things better in this game than we did in that first game in terms of moving the basketball. We didn't a lot of times you do it the right way and you don't get the penalty, or you don't punish them, punish the double team. But you know, I thought our spacing was better at times. You know, just didn't capitalize.
Hey, Frank, is this the type of game and is this the type of team where a guy like Avery Bradley would have been very helpful to have?
Well, a guy like Avery Bradley is always helpful, but he's not here with us, and we're focused on the guys that are here. We had plenty to get the job done tonight. You know, just fell short. So we'll get back to work on Monday and try to get another win.
Tanya Ganguly?
There have been a lot of high-scoring games in the, so far in the bubble, but I think a lot of people anticipated defenses to be ahead when this started. Did you anticipate that? Were you thinking like...
Yeah, you know, I always anticipate defense is going to be ahead of the offense, you know, in a training camp or preseason, early in the season. It looked like the offense for us was ahead of our defense in the scrimmage games and early on in camp and whatnot. But the first two games, it's been the other way around for us. You know, our defense is performing really well. You know, I think there's an element of, you know, when you're working that hard on the defensive end, you know, you got to be sure your legs are under you to make shots on the other end. So, you know, I believe that will come. But you've seen different types of styles of play. You know, some teams, their offense is way ahead of their defense, like you saw in the games last night. But, you know, we'll continue to work on both sides.
Okay, Joe Vardy.
Danny struggled with shooting tonight, and you also said beforehand that you wanted to play JR some. So how much of that, of JR's run in the second half, was wanting to get him in, and the other side was Danny not shooting it?
Well, you know, JR coming in was more about putting AD at the five, you know, with the way they were double teaming him, more than anything Danny was doing. You know, we believe Danny's going to make shots. You know, he didn't tonight, but he'll have nights like that from time to time in his career. But, you know, he's a proven professional shooter. You know what I mean? And I'm sure he'll bounce back next game.
Last question, Anthony Slater.
Yeah, Coach. You know, Anthony Davis only took 7 shots tonight. You kind of mentioned part of the reason, you know, their scheme to double him. But do you want him, even on nights like that, just go be assertive, go take 7 more shots, maybe – try to assert yourself even through the double at times?
We do, and he did, and he was getting to the line. You know, I think he shot all 9 of his free throws in the third quarter, if not, you know, 7 or 8. You know, so he asserted himself during that stretch. And, you know, like I said, they're great at flooding the paint and not fouling. So you have to play extra pass basketball. We did. We didn't knock down shots on the backside. You know, it wasn't our night.
All right, that's head coach Frank Vogel, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. Okay, a couple things to take away from what Coach said, and I think this falls into the theme of what we talked a little bit about as we started the postgame show. Coach said that the Lakers got clean looks, but they just struggled to hit shots. Now, if next game all of a sudden those shots start falling and you shoot closer to 35, maybe 40% from the three-point line, and you don't leave 9 points from the free throws, then maybe this is a completely different story. Now, I will say, I thought the Raptors played better than the Lakers. There's no other way to put it. As far as Anthony Davis goes, that was their strategy. If you're the Toronto Raptors, and I got to imagine a lot of teams in the NBA are going to take a similar strategy, you have to see if the Lakers are going to hit their jumpers, because it's not like it's Kyle Korver or J.J. Redick, guys that are just knockdown three-point shooters, and they're going to hit them 82 in all 82 games. They're a threat. Lakers have some streaky shooters. Danny Green's a streaky shooter. At least he's been, you know, this season. As is KCP and Alex Caruso and Kuzma. So Lakers have players that, yes, if they're hitting, we're in a fantastic spot. But if they're not hitting, then, you know, you have to just kind of weigh the positives and the negatives. AD still got to the free throw line 9 times. I want to say he took all those free throws in the third quarter. But Anthony Davis had 1 point in the first half. He had 3 points in the fourth quarter. I understand AD is going to get doubled. I understand that's the strategy for the Toronto Raptors. But at the same time, the Lakers got to find a way to make sure that Anthony Davis isn't taking 7 shots. If AD took 14 shots, double the amount of shots that he took tonight, I would say that's still not enough looks. I mean, I could look at some of the different players. Markieff Morris took 3 more shots than Anthony Davis. Kuzma took 6 more shots than Anthony Davis. Deion Waiters took 4 more shots. So you understand the theme that I'm talking about there. As good as the Toronto Raptors game planned against the Lakers, I think what's equally as important is to make sure that obviously you still find ways to get Anthony Davis looks. LeBron James ended up with 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. We'll have LBJ coming up next. Stay right here. This is a Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Lakers lose to the Toronto Raptors 107-92. Are we going to overreact? Of course we are. It's NBA basketball. It's Los Angeles Lakers. But give the Raptors definitely credit on their performance tonight. And, you know, keep in mind for the Lakers, too, these next 6 games is all going to be about prep, right? Just getting prepared for the postseason. And I know I'm saying that now off a Lakers loss, but this kind of gives you a little bit of a gauge. Toronto is one of the elite teams in the NBA. Obviously, the Clippers are as well. You're 1-1 against these 2 elite teams so far in this restart. Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Points in the Paint tonight, Toronto Raptors 40, Lakers 34. I don't need to sit back and get into that whole reason of why. We know why. If Anthony Davis just has 14 points, 9 of those are coming from the free throw line, you're going to struggle from getting points in the paint. LeBron James, I'm very curious to see LeBron's opinion on tonight's game. He ended up with 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, also had 4 turnovers, 7 of 15 from the field. Never really a flow to this game, and maybe a lot of that just has to do with the Lakers weren't able to hit shots. Let's get LeBron James' thoughts on the Lakers' 107-92 loss to the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, LeBron. Coach Vogel was talking about you guys know what Toronto was going to do defensively, packing the paint, not fouling, and forcing you to hit shots. If shots aren't going down as a team like tonight, what are some things that you guys can do better to be more efficient on that end?
I don't think there's anything you can do better. You execute your offense to get the best shot, and we did that tonight. We went 10 for 40 from the three-point line. I believe a lot of those 40 of those threes are great looks, wide open clips after getting to the paint and knowing what they're going to give up. Then we just have to step up and knock them down, you know. So, you know, I don't think there's anything that you can do better. I mean, I think we defended very good offensive team and the Raptors, but we got to make shots. And when you make shots, it loosens up the defense. And we didn't do it enough tonight.
Frank said he thought part of that could just be that if you're playing really hard defensively, and he thought you guys were, maybe some of the legs aren't there at this point. Is that just getting more game reps? So you guys have been on for a while and trying to ramp up to that point until the playoffs start?
I don't know. I think that's it could be. That's an individual question to every individual. For me, personally, my legs feel pretty good. You know, and I was just trying to put the ball on time, on target, trying to run the offense and try to get my shots as well. So, you know, we've been out for a while, you know, and I think the game legs will continue to come, you know, as this AAU tournament continues to go on. So, I'm not too worried about that. Our shooters shoot, and we got some great guys that can make shots from the perimeter, and they will make them.
Hey, LeBron, it's Dave. In the past, you've said your patience is one of your qualities that you need to work on. Where is your patience at when it comes to this restart process and trying to manage where you guys are at versus where you expect to be?
I think only time will tell. I mean, I don't really have no expectations, you know, right now. I think for us, we want to continue to get better and better. Use these 8 games to try to gear up for the postseason, but this is a different situation. It's a different circumstances. You've been out 4.5 months. And you hope that we can pick it right back up, but obviously it's going to take some time. We also added two new guys that's going to be in a rotation, you know, with JR and Deion, so they're learning on the fly as well. So, you know, it's all about the process. It's all about getting back in rhythm, getting back into timing, and, you know, and go from there. But, you know, every game is an opportunity for us to get better. I thought defensively we were really good tonight. I thought offensively we got some very, very good looks, but they just didn't go down. So, you know, pretty, you know, okay with, you know, the way we perform.
Tanya Ganguly, how did you see AD responding to
He responded great. You know, we got guys, great looks. You know, it's a numbers game. You know, they put two on the ball. That means it's a 4-on-3 on the backside. And he continued to bait the defense and got his teammates great looks.
Calhoun?
You know what? You guys are very close to clinching the one seed in a normal season. Maybe that would mean lower minutes and maybe some games where you sit out. How important do you think is of the remaining six games is it to play that out to make sure that you guys get to where you want to get competitively?
Well, obviously health as well. You know, that's the number one thing. You know, and then chemistry comes in with that on the floor. So, you know, going into the postseason as healthy as we can be after the 4.5 month layoff is what's most important. You know, clinching the one seed is their advantage here. It's not a home court advantage here, but, you know, we worked hard to be the number one team in the West. You know, possibly the number one team in the league. Obviously, Milwaukee's still playing extremely well, but you know, we got this far, so we might as well try to figure it out and close it off the right way.
Joe Garden, please.
Hi. Two. First, there's a couple of plays, I think it was late third, maybe early fourth, you were out there, and there's corner threes, and you were upset. There was, I think, a miscommunication. What was it? You guys, there's a couple of times, a couple of corner threes, and you were upset that they were wide open. What was the miscommunication there?
Just in-game. It's all about in-game adjustments, in-game communication. We had some breakdowns. We just got to get better.
And then you're asked this question almost every year, but because the circumstances are so different, are you paying attention to the race for the 8th seed and your likely first-round opponent and how that's all shaken out?
No, not up until this point. You know, for me, you know, in this ball club, we're trying to get better every day. You know, as much as when we're on the court, we want to get better on the floor. We have our film sessions, we want to get better on our film sessions. But I'm not paying attention to what's going on with the AC right now, because it's too much that can happen. And then there's some playing games or whatever the case may be to decide that. So it's too far away.
Tanya, one follow-up?
Yeah, you just a point early in the fourth quarter, you hit a three and you kind of, as you were coming back down the court, you looked into the crowd, or like where the crowd would be, and like that's something you do during games. But was it disconcerting to look out there and see people like Rob was in the area?
No, it's not. When you have routines and you've been doing it for so long, you're just used to that. You're used to that routine, and you're just trying to make plays. You know, I was trying to, you know, put myself in a road environment. You know, this was the Raptors' home game, so. You know, taking and making big shots on the road floor is something that I relish. I love, you know, playing on, you know, on the opponent's floor. So, I'm just trying to have that mindset, you know, going down the stretch of the floor.
Hey, LeBron.
Hey, LeBron. Coach Vogel was talking about you guys know what Toronto was going to do defensively.
All right, that's LeBron James there, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet. So, real quick on that, a couple things that he hit on. And this is one of the things that we were talking about a little bit earlier. Did you like the looks? Were the looks that you wanted, that you thought typically, you know, they're wide open shots, they're the right play? LeBron was adamant. Those are the looks that we were looking for. We'll hit those shots. I'm not worried. So that's obviously LeBron James pointing out, right as actually they started the interview, he mentioned the 10 of 40 from the three-point line, mentioned that the Lakers were struggling specifically in that department, and that's the difference of the game. Raptors hit, you know, obviously a few more three-pointers for the Lakers, a few more free throws, were more efficient, more ball movement. Raptors played better. I mean, even if Lakers hit some of those shots, Raptors were the better team tonight for, you know, a whole 48 minutes. But LeBron, most definitely not worried. Let's put it that way. He's not worried about the Lakers. And we know against Utah, they get another chance. Anthony Davis had 14 points, went 2-7 from the field. A lot of conversation about AD. We'll hear from Anthony Davis coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. All right, we appreciate you guys being a part of the postgame show. 107-92, the final score. Lakers 1-1 in this restart. 6 games left. Next game coming up against the Utah Jazz. We'll talk about that game in just a little bit. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. So I spent a lot of time talking about Anthony Davis, his performance, only 7 shots, kept blabbing on. We got a chance to hear from head coach Frank Vogel. He addressed that as well. And then LeBron James touched a little bit about specifically on the shots that the Lakers were getting. He liked the shots that the Lakers were getting. Lakers just couldn't hit any of them. Shot 35% from the field, shot 25% from the three-point line. Don't be surprised that we're sitting here 48 hours from now after the Lakers take on the Utah Jazz. Some of those shots fall, and Lakers coast to a win against the Utah Jazz. I wouldn't be surprised. As far as Anthony Davis, let's get his thoughts. Tonight was kind of a weird game for AD. We don't see too many games like this. But I think it's a strategy that probably most defenses are going to rely on, especially if the Lakers have trouble hitting jumpers. They're going to take their chances and say, okay, well, if we got to double-team Anthony Davis so he doesn't get 30 or 40 points on us, let's see if some of these other players can come through. Those players didn't come through for the Lakers tonight. But like head coach Frank Vogel said, AD wants to make the right basketball play. The right basketball play technically would be to hit those open guys. AD did that. Here's Anthony Davis, courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
Hey, Anthony, this isn't the first time that a team has been aggressive with you defensively, double team and try to get the ball out of your hands early. What are the things that you're trying to look at, and what are some of the counters that you want to try to employ?
I'm just trying to find an open guy. We knew they were probably going to double, and, you know, I was just making the right reads. You know, unfortunately, we didn't shoot the ball well tonight at all from the field or from three, which kind of, you know, let them, you know, continue with their game plan with doubling me. I think we'd have made a couple shots, then it would have definitely changed a little bit, but they had a good game plan coming in, you know, double team me and get the ball out of my hands and, you know, live with us making shots.
LeBron said that legs at this point of the season, it's just a unique case, so every player is a bit different. AD, wondered how you feel after these 2 seeding games, following the scrimmage games and all the time off. How do you feel as the playoffs are now just a couple of weeks away?
How do I feel personally?
Yeah, just how do the legs feel personally?
Oh, I feel good. You know, I didn't get a lot of time in the preseason you know, because of the eye, but, you know, I feel good. I feel good playing out there. Condition is fine, so I'm ready to keep going.
Hey, D, kind of
Melissa.
Kind of playing off of the previous question, Frank said that a good amount of guys reported soreness after last game. I'm curious, after 142 days without playing a game, what it feels like to be back on the court playing these intense type of games.
It was good to get some competition in. Like I said, I didn't get a chance to play much in the preseason. So in the scrimmage games, rather. So I felt great coming into that first game, and even tonight, I wasn't sore at all. So I had a couple more days resting than everybody else on the team.
Okay,
time to
game
one.
Right.
You also had a cut in your left eye. Did you get hit in both eyes? I had been wondering about that.
Yeah, no, I was in practice, yeah.
Were you, you did a couple of games. You've done a home game and a road game here in this environment. Is it disconcerting to, you know, that, like, if you look out into the stands, like, there's, like, no one there?
I don't even pay attention to it, honestly. It makes no difference to me. I said, when I play, I just worry about what's going on the floor. Before, you know, hiatus, I was still, you know, even in Staples or on the road, in someone else's arena, I will always just focus on the floor. I don't hear anything outside of that. So this is kind of what, you know, I play all the time. So there's nothing new for me personally.
The Raptors have beaten you twice, so they've done a pretty good job defensively both times. Is that
Do you take something from seeing that team live, that culture they have, that you want to emulate?
I mean, we have our own identity. They're a great defensive team, obviously, but you know, they do a good job of clogging the paint. I think they're like second or something in, you know, in defense. But they're 29th in 3-point field goal attempts, but, you know, third in like percentage defensively. So they let guys shoot the three, but do a great job of contesting and making guys miss. So they're a great defensive team. We know it's going to be a tough game coming in. You know, obviously, you know, they got us in LA as well. You know, defending champions. So that's off to them.
Last question, Dave McMenamin.
Hey, Anthony. I know you like to judge your guys' performance based on defense. And so even though you lost tonight, only gave up 107 points, which is still, you know, below the NBA average. When you move forward, look to the Utah game and look to the rest of the seeding round, can you take some solace in where the defense is at and just feel like there'll be enough time for the offense? Or how do you view where you guys are through two games?
Yeah, I think our defense is there. We had some, you know, plays tonight that kind of hurt us. You know, probably jump shooters, spad break points towards the end, you know, messing up some coverages. But I think our defense is there. I think we want where we want to be defensively. And even if we play a little bit better defensively tonight, some of the things that we control, you know, we would have probably held them, you know, less than what, you know, we gave them tonight. So, you know, I think our defense is there. You know, offense kind of struggled tonight, but, you know, I'm not too worried about our offense. You know, it's a, you know, we'll find a way to make shots. As long as our defense is there, you know, we'll be fine.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there on the Lakers' 107-92 loss to the Toronto Raptors. Here's the good news for the Lake Show. First of all you got to do is win one of these final six games, or the Clippers have to lose one of these final six games that they have, and the West is wrapped up. I guess you could say from a mindset perspective, good news for the Lakers. You got another game coming up on Monday. And some of these shots that the Lakers missed. Lakers hit 16 threes against the Clippers. Tonight they only hit 10. They took 40. You have to imagine that those shots will start falling. A guy like Danny Green that's struggling, or KCP, eventually these guys got to get themselves going as well. So for the Lakers, next game coming up against the Utah Jazz. So you're going to have some great tests coming up. 4:30 will be the pregame show. 6 p.m. will be the tip-off. So make sure to stay tuned in for that when that comes back around on Monday. For all those tuning in on our social platforms, stay with us. We'll keep going on 710 ESPN. We greatly appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Again, Utah Jazz this Monday, 4:30 is the pregame show. 6 o'clock is a tip-off. This has been the Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.